Good afternoon. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. A 35-year-old woman has died after the vessel she was on capsized near Sitka on Sunday. The Coast Guard is investigating the accident and has not released her name. Around 5 p.m. on Sunday, Coast Guard Air Station Sitka received reports of a capsized skiff and an overturned kayak in the Redoubt Bay area, each with one person on board. A Coast Guard helicopter crew and an emergency response vessel from the Sitka Fire Department and several nearby boaters responded to the call that came in over VHF radio. In an email to KCAW, Coast Guard Public Affairs Officer John Hightower said the man operating the skiff, which was a Boston Whaler, was rescued by a nearby Good Samaritan boater. He was taken to the emergency responders who were waiting on shore in Sitka. Hightower said the woman was recovered from the water by another Good Samaritan. She was then transferred to a Sitka Fire Department vessel, and the Coast Guard helicopter crew lowered a rescue swimmer onto the boat to help with medical treatment while they headed back to town. In an interview with KCAW, Fire Chief Craig Warren said the crew made it back to Sitka shortly after 6 o'clock, where an ambulance was waiting. The ambulance took the unresponsive woman to Mount Edgecombe Medical Center. Hightower said she was pronounced deceased at the hospital. He said the woman's next of kin has been notified. And now for a quick look at the weather in Juneau today. It is lightly raining and 58 degrees out. Tonight, rain is likely mainly before 7 p.m. and cloudy with a low of around 52. Tomorrow, there is a 50% chance of rain, cloudy with a high near 61. Friday, there is also a chance of rain. You are listening to KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in with us. Good afternoon. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Nearly all the staff of Juneau's only print newspaper left the publication for a new web-based local news outlet. KTOO's Jamie Deep has more.
Large-scale changes for the Juneau Empire began in June of this year when its editor resigned and launched an alternative nonprofit local news source online. Things escalated early this week when most of the paper's staff left for that new publication, the Juneau Independent. The publisher did not respond to an interview request, but they posted a job opening for a government reporter on Monday. Reporters from Carpenter Media Group's other Alaska papers on the Kenai Peninsula have been publishing articles to the Empire's website this week. The editor for the Empire's sister newspapers on the Kenai Peninsula now oversees the Capital City's paper, but says she is not authorized to speak to the media. In the meantime, the Juneau Independent, under the leadership of former Empire editor Mark Sabatini, has achieved state nonprofit status and is also working to get tax-exempt status, which he says will open the door for more grant funding. It is also newly flush with reporters, a managing editor, two contributing reporters, a student intern, and a volunteer reporter. Sabatini says he didn't expect the interest, which is both a boon to the publication and a financial responsibility.
Challenging and tricky part, which we're now taking on, is, you know, having an actual paid staff and running this as an actual nonprofit corporation. That takes more money and more effort.
Sabatini is working to make the Independent financially sustainable. He says writing the paper as is would cost about $200,000 a year. He says he started the venture with about $20,000 of seed money from four donors. Since launching the publication, he says it has raised over $40,000 more from contributions. Bruce Botello is the Independent's board president. He believes the Independent will be able to sustain itself.
I think there is a viable path, or actually I would say several different paths forward. And I think it will come from folks who are willing to donate to get this level of coverage in Juneau.
But another board member is less certain about the Independent's future. Larry Persily is a longtime Alaska journalist and owner of the Wrangell Sentinel. He framed the Independent's challenge in an Alaska-themed metaphor.
It's certainly not an adult salmon. It's a very young salmon leaving freshwater, going out in the ocean to grow up, and whether it lives and comes back is uncertain.
For now, Juneau residents can find new articles on both publications' websites and in the twice-weekly print edition of The Empire. In Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
And Haines is Alaska's oldest borough, and a recent survey of residents under 40 years old provides a clear picture of why. Respondents outlined a long list of factors that make it increasingly difficult for younger people to live in the small Southeast Alaska community, ranging from scant housing and childcare options to polarized local politics. The Alaska Desk's Avery Eltfeldt caught up with some of them to learn more.
Haynes Borough Mayor Tom Morfitt sent out a survey this winter to gauge how young people are faring and what they need to succeed. After reviewing nearly 90 responses, one of his main takeaways was somewhat simple, but it could have major implications for Haynes' future.
The lack of progress on these issues, daycare, childcare, housing, are starting to breed resentment among our younger population. I think it's something the government should be aware of.
Dakota Russell hit on a few of them. She's 33, has two kids, and says limited childcare options in Haynes are the number one challenge that her family and nearly all other young families contend with. The shortage became even more dire last year when Haynes-only preschool shut down. It's set to reopen this fall, but Russell says the closure underscored the dearth of options.
She's going into preschool this fall, so if the preschool wasn't going to open, I'm not sure what we would do. I probably would have to quit my job.
Russell was among those who said the issue, combined with a lack of well-paid full-time jobs to begin with, has left most families with young kids no choice but to operate on one income. That in turn has forced some to leave Haynes altogether. State data indicates that Haynes' population has dropped between 1 and 2% on average each year since 2020. At the same time, Haynes has the highest median age, almost 50 years old, of any borough in Alaska. Morfitt paid for the survey via the mayor's discretionary fund, with some help from a local tribe and the Haynes Chamber of Commerce. For now, there aren't plans to use the survey aside from capturing sentiment among younger residents. The survey suggests housing is another top issue for younger people. By Morfitt's count, nearly half of respondents mentioned housing and rent. Joe Altman Moore was among them. He came to Haynes in 2014 as an outdoor tour guide, but settled here full-time a few years later. He's 35, works at the local library, and says he and his friends have consistently struggled with housing, whether they've hoped to rent, build, or buy.
I have been in the situation of being like days away from basically living, in a tent surrounded by boxes of my stuff because I could not find anything at all.
The Haynes Borough Assembly recently considered addressing the issue by allowing homeowners to build small apartments on their properties that could be used as rentals. But the proposal generated pushback from some homeowners and was ultimately tabled. Altman Moore says that's just one example of a relatively straightforward policy change that would seriously benefit young folks and the borough writ large.
We need to have a more diverse ages around here in order to really have a healthy workforce and a healthy community. And we are moving in the opposite direction right now. And that's going to hurt us economically and socially.
Sarah Elliott, for her part, spoke to government funding for certain community services and assets like the local pool, nonprofits, and school. She's 40 and has two teenage kids. She says those organizations are crucial for families' well-being, but often get caught up in annual budget talks and political crosshairs.
I just think that if you want young families to stay in town, then you need to support the things that young families want. And that's recreation, that's parks, that's libraries, that's schools, that's pools.
Morfitt, the mayor, says many respondents also raise concerns over a lack of inclusivity, including toward the LGBTQ community, and voice desire for a more functional local government. The stakes are high, he says.
The drivers of a community, the people that take chances, the people that build the community are younger, and we need them. We absolutely need them.
Those types of community members have already started leaving the Chilkat Valley, Morfitt adds, a fate he says the area really can't afford. In Haynes, I'm Avery Elfelt.
And the Alaska Department of Health says it's still assessing how President Trump's so-called One Big Beautiful Bill Act will affect the state's Medicaid program. State officials say they do not have reliable estimates on how many Alaskans could lose coverage or how much the new law will reduce federal health care spending. On Monday, the Department of Health shared a document with the Anchorage Daily News saying the bill could reduce Medicaid spending in Alaska by $300 million to $500 million per year. but the Department of Health retracted those figures today. Emily Ricci, the deputy health commissioner in charge of Alaska's Medicaid program, says the department's earlier projections extrapolated from nationwide estimates. She says they don't account for exemptions that will apply to many Alaskans.
There's a lot of research that we have to do on our end to really think about how these exemptions that are in the bill, how they align with our Medicaid population and what our projections are.
The bill creates what is called community engagement requirements that require able-bodied Medicaid recipients to work, volunteer, or study 80 hours per month. Advocates say that will likely push some recipients off the program, in part because they are applying for benefits more complicated. But Ricci says the state plans to apply for waivers that would move the effective date of the work requirements to 2029. Ricci says many Alaskans are likely to qualify for exemptions even once the work requirements take effect. And Health Commissioner Heidi Hedberg says the last-minute addition of a $50 billion fund for rural areas should blunt the impact on Alaska's medical system.
We are one of the most rural states, and the healthcare delivery system is very different in Alaska compared to the lower 48. So I think that we are well positioned with this funding.
One in three Alaskans is enrolled in Medicaid. The Kaiser Family Foundation estimates that the final version of the bill will reduce federal Medicaid spending in Alaska by 11%, or $1.5 to $2.5 billion over the next decade. Hedberg says the state is working with contractors to get a more accurate estimate. This is KTOO. I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in.